Is there a fire of God in you? Because you can stir it up. It's always there. It's always there. Because our God is a consuming fire. And He is in you. So is there a fire in you? Yes.
I don't feel it.
That's okay. We'll talk about that. Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. One of the things that we do need to learn and become skilled at is how to not unhook from the flow when we do something natural. It's harder than you think. And it's easier than you're trying to make it. See, church is the practice place. If you can learn how to not unhook from the flow when you just gather up your Bible, your pen, your notebook, and sit down, you know, get yourself adjusted, fix your skirt, whatever you do. If you can learn how to not unhook, then you know what? When it comes time for you to be on the job and you're out in your car because you just sense a need to fellowship with the Father, and then you come in, see, you've already practiced in church how to do something natural and not unhook. So then you come in from your job and you look over and, oh, well, there's Sam. Oh, there is Sam. Anyway, there's Sam. And he, man, I don't know why, but I just feel a prompting to just tell him God loves him. Hey, Sam, just a reminder, God loves you. What are you talking about? And you're like, whoa, didn't expect that. And now there's an open door of ministry. And it started with learning how to not unhook from the Spirit of God when you sat down after praise and worship. Simple. Simple. Simple, but huge. Big effect for a little action. Do you know that's the way everything is in God? Big payouts for small investments. That's just how God is. The problem is sometimes the investments need to be made in areas that we don't think there's a payout in. Because who would have thought just learning to use your faith and stay stirred up while you sit down would have a payout, would have a dividend? Nobody but God. Nobody but God would. But see, God's paying attention to those kinds of things. And so we have opportunities to participate with Him at every turn. At every turn. So don't unhook from the service. You're not. I'm just encouraging you, just exhorting you. You know, as a youth minister, I have a goal, because when youth come into the youth group at 12, they, especially if they've been raised in church, they're actually spiritually very strong, nearly spiritually mature, especially if they've been raised in a church like this. But then something happens at 13... ish. And it's not that their spirit becomes weak, it's that their flesh then is supercharged. And so now all of that spiritual development, you know, just kind of think about it for yourself, parents. What if right now today your flesh was 200% stronger than it is at this moment? What would that do to your spiritual life? That's what your kid's going through. Why are we having to do all this retraining? Well, that's why. That's why. So you go from somebody who's reasonably spiritually mature, close to spiritual maturity, and now that's just all wiped out and they're back to being a baby again. So then my goal is to raise them up and turn them over to pastor again as spiritual adults, that their spiritual development mirrors their natural development. And so these are the kinds of things that I go over a lot, of take every opportunity to train yourself, even if it's something simple in the spirit like sitting down. Train yourself. Avail yourself of the time, because, you know, from 13 to 18 is 5 years. That ain't a lot of time. Adults, we know that. So take advantage of every opportunity that you got. So if you're young in the faith, I just gave you an answer. How do I catch up with the leadership? How do I get on pastor's page? Ooh, or the dreaded question, how do I stay close? I just gave you an answer. Avail yourself of every opportunity to train yourself. Just take every opportunity. Don't overlook even the small things. And you'll find that your development springs forward speedily. And just like it's been spoken, it will be a year of acceleration. And not just a year of acceleration, but a decade of acceleration. A generation of acceleration. A lifetime of acceleration. I so appreciate, I don't know if anybody got to see Pastor Jay minister in the services. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. I love to see when he gets out into the wider body of Christ, him and Pastor Debbie, and there's things that we kind of see in seed form here at the church, and then you get out there, and it's like they pull up the big guns, you know, and you're like, whoa, you know. And what he ministered on is so necessary and needed, not just for our church, but for every believer everywhere, you know. And I so appreciate what Pastor Debbie ministered on Thursday morning in Jim Family Camp Meeting. Brother Andre, I tagged on to that Wednesday night. Brother, just stand up. Just stand up. Come on, just stand up. Just stand up. I got to honor this man because I love this man. This is a faithful man right here. And I tell you, I don't just applaud for this man. I praise God for this man. His heart for the pastors, his heart. Tell you what, next level. Should honor that man. I know we got a lot of other things going, but you should honor that man because of what he puts into you. And the bridge that him and his wife Maya build to our pastors. Yeah. Andre used to minister in the youth, and we would tag team, and there's so many times that, you know, he'd pitch the ball and I'd get to hit the home run, and then other times I'd pitch the ball to him and he'd get to hit the home run, you know. We just had a good time. And so I feel like that a little bit this morning, that you just pitched me the ball. And I'm real excited about it, you know. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I have quite a bit of ground to cover. I will read a lot of references just for you to write in your notes. I won't necessarily go to them all for time's sake because there's some things we got to do. There's some things that we need to practice and demonstrate today. And so I want to get to those things, but I need your help. I need your faith. I need your attention. I need you to pull in the Spirit on the utterance. Because God gave me a message, but I can't get it out without your help. So even if it's just something as simple as you're sitting there in your chair and the service seems to stall out, just say, thank you, Father, for utterance. Thank you, Father, for utterance. Thank you, it's coming. Thank you, it's coming. Thank you, it's coming. You know, and when I was at Rhema Bible Training Center in prayer school, one thing that they would teach us is that if the service seemed to stall, then just very quietly sub-vocalize. You're not saying it out loud, but just begin to pray in the Spirit, and then bring that supply. And every time that we would practice that, the service would just snowball. Now, ideally, we're all bringing a supply to the Spirit before we ever get to the service. That's the highest and best. That's the highest and best. You know, you see what I'm saying? But I need your help to get all of this out. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to help Pastor when he gets back. And that's why we need to cover these things. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start in a place that might seem odd for where we're going, but it'll make sense as we move along. Chapter 4. In verse 13, should not be a scripture that's unfamiliar to any of us here. And if you're going, what is that scripture? Well, okay, just highlight it in your Bible. Just highlight it. You know, there's two scriptures that all of our Bibles should probably fall open to. Really three, but two for the sake of this example. One's Mark 11:23. And the other is 2 Corinthians 4. You should just whoop, oh, there it is. You know, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. And we also do believe and therefore we speak. I like what the message says. Pastor Debbie made it okay to use the message, so I'm going to. We're not keeping this quiet. Not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We say what we believe. We say what we believe. Now, Paul is just quoting the Psalms 116, verse 10. And you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. I like the Amplified. I believe, trusted in, relied on, and clung to my God. And therefore I have spoken even when I found myself greatly afflicted. When you're afflicted, when you're in trouble, when you're in difficulty, do you still say what the scriptures say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. I mean, speaks. And so when you're in your unguarded moments, you'll find out what you really believe. When you're talking to grandma on the phone, and you just start talking about how hard your finances are, just listen to yourself, and just when you get off the phone, go, oh, I did not know I believed that. You'll tell on yourself. You'll tell on yourself. The spirit of faith will stand in the midst of difficulty and continue to declare. Continue to declare the truth from God's word out loud. Amen. How's that even possible? Yeah. It's one thing to say, yeah, amen, woo! And then Monday morning, now, I know y'all are thinking exactly what I'm about to talk about. Because we've all done it. How in the world do they do that? Right? We've all had that thought. Don't look at me. Oh, I'm so holy. Don't look at me like that. Because you've thought it. If I have, I ain't nobody special. You did. You're just too sanctimonious to admit it. Don't, it's okay, I was too. Don't want anybody thinking we're unspiritual. How is it that certain people seem to stand in the eye of the storm and always receive from God? How is it that people are totally immune to reality? You thought it? You thought it? You know you did? Just fess up. Say, oh me, oh me. Yeah. We've all faced difficulties and impossible situations, hopelessness, depression, long odds, lack of confidence, fear of rejection, worry over failure, tests of character, and injustices. Because you're human. We're acquainted with the thoughts that come from these times, and we all know that emotions also rise up in these times. We're not strangers to it. But we're going to talk today about how you can be one of them people. The reason that some people seem to be just untouchable by the storm is because they are. They is. That's why they seem that way. They've discovered the secret to surviving every assault from life, the world, and even the devil. Did God just decide to protect some people and not others? Nope. Nope, nope, nope. Are they preachers and they can spend 100% of their time in the Word? Well, let me enlighten you. I don't know of any preacher that spends 100% of their time in the Word, mostly because we all got to sleep sometime. So no. Is that because some people just have the gift of special faith? Nope. Because that's as the Spirit wills. And did you know that you can reach out for the gifts of the Spirit in your own life? And even though you're not a minister, they can operate for you?
Whether as the Spirit wills, brother.
Yeah, and He wills them for you. Just saying. Let's go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Psalms 91, verse 1 through 11. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, oh, we believe, therefore we have spoken. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I'll trust. Surely He'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I will trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. 1,000 will fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. Only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked. See, the wicked got a reward coming. Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. See, that because says why the preceding verses are all true. Because I made the Lord my refuge. I made the Most High my abiding place, the place where I live. There will be no evil befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling, for He will give His angels charge over me and keep me in all of my ways. The presence of God is a refuge, a fortress, and some people have learned to keep themselves there. You can just write these references down. Psalms 18, verses 1 through 3. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I'll trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I will be saved from all my enemies. Psalm 61, 1 through 5. Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You ever been overwhelmed? Cry unto Him when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. And I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings, Selah. Sit calmly. Think about that. For you, O God, have heard my vow, and you have given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. You know there's an inheritance. There's a heritage of people who fear God's name, and He's given it to you. Psalms 144, verses 1 and 2. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and He in whom I trust, who subdues my enemy under me. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. And just in case you wanted to debate me, there's also some New Testament references. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Kept by the power of God. Or 1 John 5:18. We know that whoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. You know, Thursday at camp meeting was all about joy. And even Sunday when Pastor talked about consecration and that Jesus is burden is light and his yoke is easy. At the end of the service, he started talking about joy. And then Wednesday night was joy. Well, we're still talking about joy. What does God's presence have to do with joy? And how does that fit in with the spirit of faith? Well, those are fantastic questions, Miles. I'm glad you asked. For starters, let's talk about this. In God's presence is joy. If you're going to make God your habitation, your high place, your strong tower, the place of your refuge, your safety, there's fullness of joy in that place because in the presence of the Lord, there's joy. Psalm 16, verse 11. You'll show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I'll just give you two more references. And again, just so you don't debate me that this is in the New Testament, by the word of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And I'm not even going to give you the same author. I'll give you two different authors saying the same thing. Acts chapter 2 and verse 28. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. Amen. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God, and everything flows from the head. Right? Yeah. Yeah. For the kingdom of God. So if the kingdom is this way, the king is this way. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Here's the reason that just being able to respond in the flow of joy in a service is insufficient for your victory. Because see, joy's great in the service. Oh, we can all laugh it up. We can dance, we can run, we can hoopla. But I tell you what, anything that stays in the four walls of this church is worthless. That's religion. I ain't about crazy, I'm about Jesus. And see, this is just a practice place for out there. So here are the reasons why just responding in a service is insufficient. When you're in a church service, you're already in the presence of God with the assembly of the believers. Therefore, joy is present in a greater measure because joy comes with the presence of God, which is in greater manifestation because of the corporate anointing. You don't have that at home. So it's insufficient for just here. You need it at home. However, church services are not where the battles of life occur. Surprise, surprise. To win victories, you have to win battles where they happen. As a result, you must carry the presence of God to the front lines of your life, which is outside the four walls of the church where you live the majority of your life. Amen. To win the battle, you have to go where it's happening. Amen. If you run back to base when a battle occurs, that's called retreat. So are you retreating from every battle of life to wait to fight until you're in the church service? That's retreating. If you retreat often enough, that's called a rout. And a rout will lead to defeat.
I don't understand why I'm defeated all the time.
Well, maybe it's because you're trying to fight in church. And as a result, you're fighting the wrong thing. You should be fighting out there. This is where you get resupplied, not where you fight. Instead of wrangling about doctrine, go fight with the devil out there. Just saying. Man, I'm kind of mean on the doctrine thing today. The fortress of God's presence, along with the peace and joy that his presence brings, is the reason we feel relief from the struggle of life when we come together in a church service. I'm going to say that again. That fortress of God's presence, along with the peace and joy that that presence brings, is the reason we feel relief from the struggle of life when we come together in a church service. You're not feeling victory, you're feeling relief. Yeah. Yeah. Know that. Yeah. Know that. This is the refreshing place. This is the relieving place. This is the hospital. The battle's out there. When we lack skill in remaining within the fortress of God's presence, we will always find ourselves kicked from pillar to post in life. It may not be in finances, it may be in our emotions or relationships or a number of other areas. When we lack skill in remaining in the fortress of God's presence, we will continually find ourselves kicked from pillar to post, defeat to defeat to defeat to defeat. The answer is not, well, the Bible's not true. No, it's our lack of skill. It's our lack of skill. Because God's presence is a fortress. And if we abide in the fortress, there ain't no defeat. That's why Pastor Nancy said, if your life is not filled with joy, you're not living your life in the presence of God. In His presence is fullness of joy. His presence is a fortress. See? It's our lack of skill sometimes that is the problem. Don't just desire relief from the struggle. Determine that you're going to have victory. Determine you're going to have victory. And I know you'll need the weapon to get there, which is why I'm hurrying. There's a quote. I won't tell you where I got it from because it's not the greatest source in the world. The one quote's really all that's worthwhile in the whole deal. But there's a soldier, and he's a faithful soldier, and he's standing there with his general, and they're getting ready to fight the last battle of this great conflict. And this soldier is weary. He's done. You know, like some of us get. We want relief from the struggle. And he said, General, after this battle, will we have peace? And the general doesn't even look at him. Because the general's looking into the distance, seeing a different ending. And the general says, we will have better than peace. We will have victory. The soldier wanted relief from the struggle. The general wanted to destroy the enemy's ability to win. The general wanted to ruin the enemy's ability to even wage war against them. He didn't want peace, he wanted victory. Because if you have peace, you're going to fight again. You didn't defeat the enemy. Do you know why Nazi Germany is not a problem today? We had victory.
Yes, sir.
Unconditional surrender. That's why we don't have a problem with them now. It's a lesson our government would do good to pay attention to, just in my opinion. Moving on. By only yielding to joy in a service. Remember how I started this? This is why all these things are why it's insufficient to only yield to joy in a service. It's also the reason why you absolutely must yield to joy in a service. By only yielding to joy in a service, you're trying to get relief. But God wants to destroy the enemy's ability to wage war against you and provide you with total victory. Because did you forget 1 Corinthians 15:57? Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. He wants to give us total victory. Total victory. So, you know, when it's time to yield, we'll get there. We're going to get there. Praise God. When it's time, I got to take a side journey. When it's time to yield to joy in a service, you're going to have to lay down your pride. Yes.
That's it.
Proverbs chapter 29. Yes, sir. You should go look at it. Just write it down. I think it's in verse 25. But it said, the fear of man is a snare. If you're afraid of how people are going to see you, you can just flush all of your hopes and dreams in God right into the plumbing. Because that's a snare. You're gonna, you will have to be undignified. You will have to not be pretty. You have to be willing to let God mess you up. And your makeup might go places. Your tie will go places. You may or may not lose a shoe. Well, I don't believe in all that. Well, you better start. Because the very fact that you said, I don't believe in all that, the reason you don't believe in it is because you're scared of what people are going to think of you, because you're ensnared by pride. And on the other side of the spectrum, you can't come in condemnation. Oh, I'm just not worthy of it. It's still pride. It's just on the other end of the spectrum. It's just on, instead of being afraid of men out here, you're afraid of yourself in here. No different. No different. Same thing. Same thing. Let me sum up this little section here with this. The presence of God is an armored tank. And joy is the round that's in the main gun. Learn how to drive your tank out of the shed and into the fight. Amen. You just parked in the shed right now. You ever seen those tanks on the news? Them big beast machines? Man, those things are awesome. I love the sound of a good engine. Oh, yeah. They got two big diesels in them. I'm just saying. Anyway, sorry. Moving along. You ever seen those things? They're big. They're intimidating. You ever stood by one? That's a massive machine. It's massive. It's huge. Power. And it's armored. It don't do no good sitting in the shed. You got to go out there with it. If the presence of God is our fortress, then it's worth seeing how we can enter into His presence. We need skill in entering into His presence. And one of the reasons we have trouble, I didn't say you, I said we. We. I is a we. One of the reasons we have trouble yielding to joy in a service is because we have not fully entered into His presence. Because there are situations and times when it takes us the entire, we're here with the body of believers. All of us here together, we are here in the corporate anointing. The presence of God is here. It is here. Sometimes, because of things going on in our life, it takes us until 10 minutes to 12 to finally enter into the presence of God. And then we say things like, wow, that last 10 minutes of service was awesome. No, the whole service was awesome. You just came in the last 10 minutes. That's why we have trouble yielding to joy, is because we're not fully in the presence of God. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's condemnation, which we need to lay down. That's a snare. But other times it's worry, anxiety. Sometimes it's our own emotions. You know? It's the, I just woke up depressed this morning. You know? Don't look at me like that. It's happened to you too. You know, I like what Smith Wigglesworth is quoted as saying. He said, when I wake up in the morning, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. And it's reported by several ministers who are of good repute that he stayed in their homes, that when he got up in the morning, he danced for like 10 minutes, just 10 minutes solid in the Holy Ghost before he did anything. Why? He stirred himself up. He's not going to let him sit. He's going to tell himself how he is. Anyway, moving along. So we need skill in entering into the presence of God. And before we need to know how to do that. And before we can talk about that, we need to first know where God is. Where is the presence of God? That's a fantastic question. Fantastic question. Just write it down. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. We don't have time to turn there. I'm just going to be quick. A time is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a Spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in the Spirit and in truth. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, you can write that one down. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And pray in the Spirit. That's not a method of prayer, that's geography. That's a place of prayer. That's in the Spirit is a place. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne of grace is a place. And we have to come unto it.
Well, where's that?
In the Spirit. In the Spirit. But now, there's another place where God's presence dwells. Did you know that? There is another place besides in the Spirit where God's presence dwells. Don't worry, I'll tie all this up. It'll make sense in a minute. God is also in you. Yes. Just write these down. John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Do you believe in it because of their message? Well, then you qualify. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Yes. See, youth, I quoted John chapter 17. We don't go very many services without quoting John chapter 17. It's a good one just to remember. Because God is in you. You are one with Him. Yes. You're one with Him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To them that God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or what about 1 John 4, 4? You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, those evil spirits, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. The one who's in you. Now, there's three references from different authors, and I got more, but I ain't going to give them to you today. We established the word. God's in you. So is the presence of God in me or in the Spirit? Yes. Yes. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If the Spirit of God lives in you, check, He does. Yep. You are in the Spirit. Amen. Check, in God's presence. Yep. Check, check, check. Hashtag check. Anyway. Because the Spirit of God lives in you, you have access into the Spirit realm. I really like the NIV of Romans 9. It says, you are not in the realm of the flesh. You are in the realm of the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God lives in you, you have access into the Spirit realm. Now, how can we come into the presence of God? Man, we got a lot of ground to cover. Praise God. Let's not forget Mark chapter 11, 23. The simplest place, the simplest way to enter into the presence of God is believe you're there and say it. Take all those verses that we just wrote, that we just did, and make that a weapon in your mouth. I live in the Spirit. God's in me, so I'm in the Spirit. I am in the presence of God right now. That's first. Well, that's easy. Well, of course it is. God did it. God ain't about making it hard. He knew we couldn't handle it if it was hard. Go dip yourself in the river seven times.
I ain't gonna do that.
If he told you to go do something hard, would you do it?
I'll go dip in the river seven times.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. People is people. People gonna do what people gonna do. People been doing a long time. So let's go a little bit further here. So we didn't forget faith. Let's go a little further. Let's look and see what it means to enter into and remain in God's presence. Psalms 95, verse 2. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Psalms 95 and verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Interesting. Psalms 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Luke 19, verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down from the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully, joyfully praise God in a loud voice. Acts chapter 4. Such a Midwestern thing, isn't it? It's like not even really a word. It's like oops, but not. Anyway, sorry. Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. When they heard this preaching, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. What did they do? They raised their voices together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Well, we're back to joy. But now it's not just joy. It's joy with singing. And not just joy with singing, it's joy with singing right out loud. I bet you're wishing you yielded a little more in those services now, huh? Because we're just going to keep going on. First it was just joy. Now it's joy with singing. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. We're all familiar with that. Here's at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them. They heard them. They heard them. They was listening to them. It was out loud. You know, there's not one single place in the New Testament where the believer is instructed to follow how we feel. There ain't one. Believe me, I tried to find it. Because I wanted to be real. I'm a real person. And I ain't gonna put nothing on to be fake. I'm just real. As Brother Moore said, real carnal. In other words, you're really moved by your flesh. You're really moved by your flesh. Just write these in your notes, just as reminders, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For the just shall live by faith. Ain't nothing about feelings in there. Not one. I looked. Ain't none. God don't care how you feel. Now, I don't mean that he's not compassionate or have empathy. I mean, when it's time to just pull your pants up, stop crying, face the music. All the crying, I have a 3-year-old son, and I love this boy, but he is convinced, it's something we're working on changing, but he's convinced that if he cries hard enough, the answer will change. And he is so certain that if he beats the floor and screams and throws a fit, the answer's gonna change. Sorry, boy, but no means no, and no means no, and no still means no. Meant no yesterday, gonna be no today, still gonna be no tomorrow, it just means no. See, sometimes when the devil attacks us or life is just a problem, you know, sometimes life is a problem, it's not even the devil attacking us. But the devil comes when he hears our wounded rabbit scream. And he shows up and makes it worse. See, we think because of all of our, and I'm depressed and I'm just going to die. Well, you didn't treat me right. You should know you didn't treat me right. We just think that because of all our antics, the answer's going to change. Tell you what, the answer don't change. Devil's still going to eat your lunch whether you're crying or not. You want to stop him from eating your lunch? You're going to have to stand up. Put your pants on. Buckle them tight. And get in your fortress. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you climb in that big old tank and you point that cannon at the enemy, that's a whole different kind of ball game. I saw this picture one time. There's this big Gatling gun that's on an airplane. I mean, this thing's huge. It's like 12 feet long. And I saw a picture of some dude in the Air Force that he put this sticker on the front of the Gatling gun. And it said, dispensing freedom at 3,700 rounds a minute. You need to point your main gun of joy, and you need to dispense some freedom on the enemy. Because that's what the spirit of faith does. The spirit of faith dispenses freedom at 3,700 scriptures a minute. So I hope that Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, where it says, put on the garment of praise, makes a little more sense now. Because God is telling us, defy how you feel. Do not let how you feel shut you up. Don't you let that depression shut you up. That's all right. It's percolating in many of you. I know. You'll sit up in the middle of the night and go, I got it. Stir up the gift of God in you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Put on the garment of praise. Stir up the gift of God. Put on the garment of praise. Stir up the gift of God. Put on the garment of praise. Stir up the gift of God. Put on the garment of praise. If I'm going to put something on, I got to then put it on. I got to put it on, and then I got to leave it on. Put on the garment of praise. Stir up the gift of God. Discipline your mind and your flesh to praise and worship God. Make yourself do it. I don't feel like it. I didn't say that. I said make yourself do it. Make it happen. See, now we can talk about Ephesians chapter 5. It took us way too long to get there. I got 5 minutes. We can't do everything we need to do in 5 minutes. Ephesians chapter 5, right? Verse 18. And don't be drunk with wine. Do you know why people get drunk with wine? They want relief. They're trying to get relief. They're trying to get relief. And some people, they trade the wine bottle for the church service and they still don't got no relief. And if you're doing that, it won't be too long before you'll quit the church service and you'll go back to the wine bottle. You need something else. You need a drink of something. You need a fortress. You need a high tower. You need a place to go when there is no hope. Now, church is a great place to go, but I'm going to tell you what. If you can go into God's presence in your bedroom, that's just as good. And you know why? You know what? It's even a little better because Pastor Jay don't got to be there. He don't got to come bail you out. Because you get with God and your Heavenly Father and you're in that high tower and God will come bail you out. And then it's not God, it's not Pastor Jay's revelation anymore. It's your revelation.
Yes. Amen.
You know that God will bail you out.
Yes.
Don't be drunk with wine, but sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Or Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the sister passage, which is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I'll tell you what, I don't have very much time, but we'll just start. Can I give you some help?
Yes.
I need a band. Now, you won't necessarily have a band at home. But for expediency's sake, I need their help. Now, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your own life. Now, in the church, different story, because we have to observe the rules of a church service in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So, in a church service, it is different. Because there is rules. In your own home, different story. You may not record, but you can sing freely. Sometimes it takes a lot less faith to speak in tongues than it does to speak in English in an inspired, you know, in an inspired way. Singing is no different. So you just begin to. Sometimes you can speak. If you're not given to singing, you can speak. Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, he was given to poetry, to odes. And he would psalm and ode for just hours sometimes, just stuff flowing out of him. So you don't have to sing, you know. You can speak. But, you know, it does say in James chapter 5 that if anyone is married, let him sing. So nobody's going to do your singing for you. Nobody's going to do your Odin for you. You got to do it. You got to do it. So sometimes to start, it's a lot easier to start in other tongues with the intent by faith that I am praising God. Well, where's joy? Well, the end of this is joy. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. So sometimes it's a lot easier just to start out just to speak in tongues and to praise God with that intent in tongues. See, it's not hard. It's not hard. Oh, Lord, you are great and mighty. You are my help and my rock. The one who sustains me. The one who puts me over the top. See, not hard. Not hard. So that was an ode or poetry. But you can do that. And what you do is you just speak in tongues in faith with the intent of praising God, and you continue until words come up out of your spirit in English, and then you just say them. And it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. Well, now, in song, it's the same. It's the same thing. Would you give me a C-sus-2, Andre, on the piano? Give me a little more. Can't hear it. Go ahead. So in singing, it's the same kind of thing. Don't worry, you're all going to get a chance. In your chair. But it's the same kind of thing. Go ahead, give me a little. No, play me something. Obra mama ye ira manstu manste ire ire. God, you're great and mighty, the Savior of all the earth. Your love and knows no bounds. Dome di ashte ira manstu. You love me, you're my rescue. My strong tower, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it's easy. It's easy. It's easy. So stand up just a minute. We don't have very much time. We're going to be very quick. But I don't want to leave you without showing you. You can do it. You can do it. When Pastor talks about the praise should push him, this is what he's talking about. And we might have to, when you're starting, when you're first gaining skill, tongues are your training wheels. Tongues are your training wheels. And so you'll ride on one training wheel, oh, and you'll balance up and you'll sing, you'll sing or praise in a language you know. And then, oh, you're on the other training wheel and now you're back in tongues. And just over time, you just bounce between the training wheels. And then the next thing you know, oh, now I'm riding. Now I'm going. So let's just start. Let's just start all together, just in tongues. And then as the words come up for you in your own life, just begin to sing them out. Well, what if it doesn't sound pretty? Well, that's why we have the band, is to help keep us all together in unison. Right? All right. This is the path into that high tower. This is the path into the fortress. And see, here's the great part. As we become skilled at this as a family, when our man and our woman stand in the pulpit, this will carry them into a new realm. It'll carry them into a new place. We'll get more revelation. We'll get more light. We'll see more miracles. We will see things happen in the unusual. Because the presence of God is stronger, greater. It doesn't take us till 10 minutes to 12 to get into the presence of God. We're in the presence of God before we ever came, because we've been in the fortress all week long. And you know what? When you're in this, some of you can sense it already. You don't have to be in this very long, and God's presence draws nigh, which really He's on the inside of you. He's just coming up out of the inside. And you become God conscious. And when that starts to happen, then you sense that. Hallelujah. That joy begins to come. See? It's a doorway into God. This is a doorway into God's presence. Sometimes you just need a little bit of medication on a constant dosage, right? That's praise and worship. Sometimes you need an EpiPen. And that's when you laugh by faith. See? But it's easier to laugh by faith if you're already in the fortress. If you're already in the strong tower. If you're already, see, when Pastor Jay gave the prophecy about the untouchable ones, if you remember that, the untouchable ones, this is why they're untouchable. It's because they've learned how to make the Lord their God, their dwelling place, their habitation. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray in closing. And the praise and worship team will sing a song, and then we'll be dismissed. Father God, I thank you for these great and mighty people. Oh, I thank you, Father God, for this holy nation, this royal priesthood. Oh, Father God, I thank you. I thank you and I praise you. We thank you for the word that we've received this morning. Oh, we ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would understand it more fully, more clearly. Oh, Father God. Oh, we thank you for working in our lives, for never quitting on us, never giving up on us, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father God, that you want us to succeed. You want us to be victorious. Oh, you so desire to be our hiding place. Oh, Father, thank you. Your wings are open to receive us today. Oh, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, pastors will be back on Wednesday. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it.